today is that day that all the kids look forward to every year. That's not Christmas, where they get to go out and knock on doors and everything. And I guess they're doing that this year. I'm not sure entirely. I'm kind of a Halloween Scrooge. I'm not a fan of Halloween at all. But I don't think that you can miss out on the fact that this is the time of year when all the TV stations, all the different streaming services put all the scary movies on. I mean, they save it for this time of the year to put all the scary stuff on. And so in that spirit, I want to share a sermon with you this morning entitled A Scary Story. It's not Halloween driven at all, but it is a story given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you would please turn to Luke chapter 16. We're going to look at the last half of that chapter of Scripture. This is a parable that Jesus told. What I normally like to do is when I present a sermon is I like to give you a little bit of context of where we are. In this case, I think the context is a little bit more historical than it is context is in the text. This chapter of Scripture is about two-thirds of the way through the Gospel of Luke. But it happens to be sometime that last winter before Jesus was crucified in the spring. So pretty late in his ministry. And by this time, if you know anything about Jesus' life, his ministry, he had gotten the religious leaders in Israel pretty jacked up. They were not happy with him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were very unhappy with Jesus, and they were looking for ways to get rid of him. And we're not talking about sending him to another country. They wanted to kill him and get rid of him. And so in the midst of this time in Jesus' ministry, we come to this parable that Luke recounts in the second half of chapter 16. And it does speak, if you look up just a few verses ahead of this, it speaks to the fact that the Pharisees love their money. And so this speaks into that. This is the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Now, this is actually going to feed in to our Wednesday Bible study as we're in the second week of the Romans Road, because Wednesday we're going to look at Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." And so, in a very real sense, this parable maps out that difference. And we'll continue to cover it on Wednesday night, looking at this parable as well as looking into Romans chapter 6. I'm going to break it down for you, though, instead of reading the whole passage, because it's 19 through 31. It's kind of a lot to throw at you at one time. So we're just going to break it up a little bit and talk about it as we go along. The first thing that I want you to see in this passage, this parable, a parable is a story. And we're going to talk more about that as we get toward the end of the sermon today. But we see two vastly different outcomes in the lives of these two men. Look at it with me, if you will, verses 19 through 23 of Luke chapter 16. Jesus recounts this parable this way. "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." So right away, you see that things changed from the world to the afterlife, if you will. The rich man had it all. And he lived like a king. It says that he was dressed in purple here. Folks, that wasn't something that you could just go down to the Macy's and buy purple clothes. This was fancy schmancy clothing, only for the wealthy. And then it says not only that, but he dined sumptuously, and the idea behind this is he basically had a feast every day. That's the life that he lived. A man that wanted for nothing. On the other hand, you've got Lazarus. And you might have noticed there that it says that he was laid at the rich man's gate. This word literally means that somebody dumped him there, hoping that maybe, just maybe, the rich man or somebody in his household might show mercy to this man Lazarus. And you see there that the dogs licked his wounds. I don't want you to think that these are nice puppies like yours or your neighbors, and they were just being sweet and kind to him. He basically was fending the dogs off. The dogs in Israel in the first century were just short of wild. And it's a good chance that once he breathed his last, he would be their next meal. And so that's the dogs that he was fighting against. He was pushing them away. They were fighting for space in this whole situation. But you notice that it says here that the rich man's crumbs would have been enough to sustain him. My understanding is that back in those days, the wealthy would literally use loaves of bread to wipe their mouths and then just kind of pitch them. They were like a napkin. And so this man's napkin, his discards, would have been fine for Lazarus, but he wouldn't even give him that. And so Lazarus dies, and that same idea of being dumped happens again. Chances are he was dumped in some kind of a beggar's grave somewhere, unmarked, unthought of. You guys remember that old Beatles song, Eleanor Rigby, right? I mean, it's like nobody was there. That's kind of the idea. Nobody was there. Probably not even the preacher. Probably just a couple of guys. They're like, heave, ho, next. That's kind of what's going on. Because you guys do realize in Jesus' day in Jerusalem, in Israel, there were a lot of poor people. And so they were just another roadblock out of the way, most likely for most people. Yet, we see him in the next breath in Abraham's bosom. And I just want to give you a word there, heaven. Okay? We're going to talk more about this in a few minutes. But he's in heaven for all intents and purposes. The rich man, on the other hand, he dies, and likely he has this lavish funeral. There were probably the paid mourners and the whole nine yards. And yet, in the next breath, where is he? Hell. Now, folks, that is a turnaround of outcomes, of eternal perspective. What we see in this next section is that this isn't earth anymore. The rules, the guidelines, the pecking order has all changed. Look at it with me, verses 24 through 26. Then he cried. This is the rich man. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. I'm going to pause here and I'm going to give you a couple of cautions. Number one, this is a parable. This is a story meant to share one or more universal principles. That's the idea of a parable. And so as you look at the situation, the placements and all those sorts of things, please don't let this drive your idea of the afterlife. Jesus was speaking to a Jewish group of people who had this idea of Sheol, the afterlife, and he was speaking to them in their knowledge of that day. Think of it this way. Every time you hear somebody, and not in church circles, but if you hear a comedian on TV or whatever telling you a joke about heaven, how does it always start? Saint Peter was at the pearly gates. Right? You've probably heard that your whole life. Folks, there's nothing in here that says St. Peter is at the pearly gates. It just never says it that way. All right? But people understand that. I don't care if you've never stepped foot in a church. When somebody starts out a story like that, a joke like that, everybody goes, okay, I'm ready. In the same way, Jesus was speaking to the people from what they understood the afterlife to be all about. So don't let that be your theology as far as the afterlife. Jesus is just trying to explain it to them in a way they'd understand. And kind of part B to that warning is this. Yeah. Some people, some scholars, some writers have the ability to take a beautiful, meaningful parable given by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and absolutely sapping the life out of it because they try to put meaning to every single word, every single person, every single statement that's made in these parables. Folks, sometimes the parable just wants to tell you one truth and everything else around it doesn't necessarily really factor in. And they end up allegorizing a lot of these kinds of things. And so just don't try to always figure every single word out, all right? It's kind of the idea. Jesus is trying to hit these people where they live so they'd understand. And this parable has a lot to do with the fact that the Pharisees were all about money. And so he's trying to explain this to them. That's where this idea comes from, as I mentioned at the beginning. So that being said, number two, we see Lazarus. This man who was a beggar, this man who had nothing. And then in this next breath, he's in heaven. I don't want you to think that if you're downtrodden on this earth, that that gives you an automatic buy into heaven. It doesn't work that way. All right? In order to get to heaven, the way you do that is through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way to gain eternity with God the Father except through accepting His Son Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. To believe that He died on a cross and He rose 3 days later, and the only way to have peace with an eternal God who is perfect and holy is through accepting His Son's sacrifice on the cross, and His blood covers your sin and forgives your sin. That's how you gain eternity. This idea, I think, in the world today that somehow the downtrodden are more noble or more worthy, or that certain groups of people are more noble or more worthy, is a worldly concept. We are all born sinners destined for hell. And the only way to escape that destiny is through faith in Jesus Christ. And so please understand that when some, you know, I see it all the time. These people are like, well, that group of people, that group of downtrodden people, they're more noble for whatever reason. No, they're downtrodden. I'll agree with you about that. But your station in this life doesn't really factor into God's economy. I was reading this week, and there's an old story about that, and an old pastor said, it doesn't matter whether you're at the bottom of a coal mine, 100, you know, a mile under the ground, or you're standing on the top of the tallest mountain, the distance from you to God is still unpassable apart from Jesus Christ. Okay? So we just need to understand that. So I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to move on. I just want to give you a phrase. Our world today is caught up in, I believe, a heresy that's called liberation theology. That somehow Jesus came to this earth to free us from the bondage of humanity. And those who are in charge are the evil, and those who are the downtrodden are the good. It's a worldly idea, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus did not come to bring you out of your circumstance on this earth. Jesus came to get you out of the circumstance of your destiny for hell apart from faith in Him. And so, you know, this really speaks to where the world is today. And I think we just need to understand the fact that Lazarus was not in heaven because he was downtrodden and left for dead on earth. There's an obvious reality that he came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that's what got him into heaven, not his circumstance here on earth. Okay? Just want to make sure we cover that. So, but here's the thing. He's now in Abraham's bosom. We'll call that heaven. And the rich man is in hell. And they can see each other in this parable. And guys, do you realize that even after all of this, the rich man still doesn't get it? Did you see that in verse 24? Because what does he say? Father Abraham, tell Lazarus to come down here and serve me. He's in hell for goodness sake. And he's still expecting to be served. Ladies and gentlemen, I think you need to recognize the fact, because people say, well, a loving God wouldn't send people to hell. Loving God doesn't send people to hell. You go to hell because you choose not to follow Jesus Christ. You choose to rebel against God. And the reality is the people there still think they deserve to be out of there. I think it's just a pretty straightforward idea. But notice that he calls him Father Abraham. Now, the reason he does that is because he was Jewish, and Abraham was the father of the Jewish people. But I think Jesus would have a problem with that. Because over in John chapter 8, he has this whole debate about the Jewish people and Father Abraham, and he says this to them in verse 39. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Right? Abraham was deemed righteous before God because of his faith, because of the fact that he followed after God. And the people of that day, many of them were not doing that. But this really is an eternal picture of the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Very simply. That you see all through the gospel accounts. We also see this. That there cannot be a change once the destiny is set. That's what he's talking about in verse 26. He says there's a great gulf, and the word is fixed. And one cannot cross to the other or this to that. That's what he's saying there. And folks, that's what Hebrews 9:27 says. It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. And so if your tradition, and the group that's here every week hears me say this from time to time, but I just think there's some clarity that you need to have, because a large percentage of the world's population that considers themselves in the Christian realm has this idea that after somebody dies, that you can pray them out of hell if that's where they go, that you can light enough candles and say enough prayers to get them out. The scriptures say it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Folks, it doesn't say to die once and then you get some time for people to pray you out of hell. It doesn't say that. To die once, but then the judgment. When you breathe your last here, whatever it is that you believe about God, that you believe about Jesus, but believe about your life, that is going to go with you for the rest of eternity. So you got to have it settled here because you're not going to get another chance. That's the reality of things. And the sad thing about humanity is we think we've got more time. We think we've got more time. I don't know if I'm going to make it to the end of today. I have no guarantee of that. I could be walking across this lawn after the church service is done and have a aneurysm and just be gone. And at that point, there's not going to be any chance for me to say, oh God. Of course, I'm settled with Jesus. I know where I'm going. I believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. I've asked Him to forgive me for my sins and to be the Lord and leader of my life. And I'm trusting in Him and Him alone. Not any good deeds I do. Not in any money I've got in the bank. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ for my eternity. And I hope each one of you are as well today. Because here's the final point of this parable. We see in the last few verses. The living have all the information they need. Look at this with me, verse 27 through the end of the parable. This is a rich man speaking again. Matter of fact, I don't know if you noticed this parable. Lazarus never speaks. It's just all Abraham and the rich man going back and forth. Then he, the rich man, said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Just seems a little human there for a second, doesn't he? It's like, I don't want them here. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Folks, through all of this, this guy still does not get it. Did you see that? He again wants to send Lazarus off to see his brothers. I think Abraham's a nice guy. I'd be like, dude, he doesn't work for you. But that's not me. I mean, that's what I would do. Hence why I'm not in the parable. at least he's come to realize that he doesn't want anybody else to be there, right? I mean, he's gotten that far. But Abraham's response is key, and it really speaks to our culture as well. Because what do people want today? Proof. Proof. If you showed me, then I'd believe. Though I don't think they would. They'd say, well, can you do it again? Like if lightning would strike that tree right now, then I'll believe in Jesus Christ. And if God so felt that he needed to do that, though I don't think he would. Boom! They go, well, that was pretty cool. Now can you do that one? Right? I mean, you know that's where humanity's going to be. Right? Abraham says to him that the brothers have the scripture, and that's enough. He persists. But then Abraham doubles down on him. And really, if you look at this, both of these points that Abraham makes speaks to Jesus. Now remember, Jesus is probably 3 to 6 months from dying on the cross. He's about at that point in his earthly ministry. As he speaks this, is really prophetic of where he's going to be. Because number one, he says here that they've got Moses and the prophets. But folks, do you realize that Jesus is the fulfillment of Moses and the prophets? He says it himself. Over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, this is the first third of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law, that's Moses, the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Not only was Jesus the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, what else did he do? He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. And because he says back here in the passage, he says, even if somebody rose from the dead, they still wouldn't be persuaded. And ladies and gentlemen, isn't that the battle we fight in our world today? Jesus is risen from the dead. The Bible declares it in four Gospels. And yet people go, yeah, nah, that's not going to work for me either. By the way, just one other thing. Because when you see that name Lazarus, I hope that kind of reminds you of something else. Jesus did raise a man named Lazarus from the dead, right? Over in the Gospel of John. But if you go and you read the account in John, what you find is in the aftermath of Lazarus rising from the dead, those same Jewish leaders were pretty jacked up to the point that not only did they want to kill Jesus, they wanted to kill Lazarus too. By the way, if you want those references, that's John 11:53 and John 12:20. It's right in there. All right? Let me finish this way. Because this has actually come up because of this parable. As far as I know, this is the only parable where Jesus names somebody. It's always this certain man or this certain place or this certain whatever. But he actually names Lazarus in this parable. Now some have said, and I have friends that believe this, that this shows that this wasn't a parable, but this was actually a story. This is an account. This is a real event that happened because Jesus named Lazarus. I don't agree with that. And by the way, this is something we can discuss with Jesus in glory. We can't stand on either one of these. All right, this is just my opinion. But I think the greater truth here, and again, we don't want to be drawn too much out of the parable, but this speaks to my heart. Lazarus was a nobody. Lazarus was forgotten. Lazarus probably was even despised by the people in his culture. That guy, that homeless guy. But in God's kingdom, he was valued. He knew his name. He knew who he was. That may speak to you here today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, maybe you feel like you're on the outside looking in. But he knows you. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows every thought that you've had. He knows every day of your life. Let me say this to you. Regardless of what the world may think of us, we have eternal value. through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so I see this name Lazarus is just speaking out through this parable, saying, regardless of what the world may think, I know you. That's what our God says. He loves us. He loved us enough to send his son to die on the cross and rise again 3 days later. And so let me ask you, as we close this morning, is your future scary? Does this scary story speak to where you are? You're separated from Jesus? Or is your future one of joy in the bosom, cared for, known, and loved? If it's scary, come to Jesus today. Come to Him today. This may be the only day, the only option you ever get for this. You may have come to this place this morning. You don't even know why you're here, but you're here. And right now, your heart may be beating a little bit faster and palms may be a little sweaty. You're going, I'm going to get out of here in 5 minutes. The Holy Spirit's calling you today, calling you to repentance, wanting you to lay down your life before Jesus Christ, asking to forgive you for your sins and to become the leader and Lord of your life. You can do that today. When we're done, we're going to have a prayer, and then we're going to be done. I'm going to be hanging out. You can spot me. I'm the guy with all the lace. You saw Larry. You saw Susan. They've been up here. You saw Drew. Any of us who are up front this morning, grab us. We want to talk to you. Make sure you know that you know where your eternity is going to be spent. Because the last thing you want to do is you breathe your last, and you're down there hanging out with the rich man. That's not where you want to be. If your future is one of exceeding joy, you know you belong to Jesus. What we're talking about on Wednesday night with the Romans Road is the urge to tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't keep it for yourself. Jesus told us in all four Gospels and the book of Acts to tell everybody about Him and salvation through Him. Would you do that? Let's pray.